I was just thinking, these girls, thank you for that. Can God really use young people? Really? How about grandparents? How many are grandparents here today? Oh man. Aren't grandchildren God's gift to us for putting up with our kids? I remember sharing one time, I was sharing about, hi Ryan. I don't know many people here, but too bad I know you now. So, and who's sitting with you?
My wife.
Hi, I've never met you. And your parents go here somewhere? Okay. Somebody said you can pick your friends, but not your relatives. So, but I remember sharing one time at our church where I was pastoring. I got up and I was kind of doing the grandparent thing, and I said, you know, it seems like intelligence skips a generation. And then after I went on and never worried about this rest of the service. When I was leaving, I was out in the foyer, and I remember my son and family were visiting that day. And I saw Jeff, and I said, I went up and I said, Jeff, I want to apologize to you for sharing what Dad was just having fun with the crowd. You know that. And I was just, no. He says, Dad, I agree with you. I said, you agree with me that intelligence skips a generation? He said, yeah, Grandma and I were talking about that the other day. My mother back here in 2 weeks will be 90 years old, and she, that's as blessed as you're going to get, probably get her hand waving at me. Thank you. I told her she could run the aisles and wave her hanky and all that. She said, no, she's not going to do that. She found Phyllis. She said she'd rather sit with Phyllis in the back than sit with us in the front. My wife, Tricia, is here with me. 46 years this year. Are you happy? No, everybody's. But anyway, why in the world am I here today? I want to worship him. I happened to move here in February. I met a young pastor named John Whitmer. We began to start having coffee together, and I like him. You can get amen, and okay, if you agree with me, be real quiet. Okay, got it. We agree on something together. Okay, finally. But we began to talk and share and have coffee together at his coffee place over here. And then he texts me and says, I'm really hard up. Could you preach for me when I'm on vacation? And I said, I'd love to. And so we're here today. I want to share three words with you that are very powerful words in the Bible that come out of truth, very powerful truth that we'll show you in the Bible, some scriptures that go along with it. But when you realize this is what made Jesus leave heaven and come to earth and die on an old rugged cross, rose again for you and for me. Now, if you ever do public speaking, if you ever have to speak in front of people or teach a Sunday school class or something, in school you learned how to do speech class or something, and you do public speaking, you have to come up with a title. And the title that I came up with is, can you say it out loud? God needs you. Okay. Now, what you have to have is your points are supposed to support your title. I feel like I hear Spanish going off in the area somewhere. Gracias. Sí. Buenos días. Is that being taped? Oh, Lord, help us. I can't wait to hear what I sound like in Spanish. But anyway, remember the title that I just gave you is God Needs You, right? Okay, here's my first point. If you're writing down, I can see all of you taking notes. Number one, God doesn't need you. How does that support my title? God doesn't need anything. I know that doesn't support my title. But a couple years ago, I was working on something, and I remember looking at the vast. We had gone out to Colorado to see our other kids, and the vast beauty of the world and what God has created. And then I see cornfields in, what state is this, Iowa? Paul said, in whatever state you're in, be content. I'm learning that. I like Iowa. Actually, I like it, but is something wrong with me? Somebody said, my church where I came from in Pennsylvania said, and you're moving where? It was like they didn't know where it was. Iowa. But I know that after I began to say, God, you're incredible. You don't need anything. And I remember him saying to me, it just felt so strong that, Al, I need you. I need you. And I got so excited. Then I began to realize that in Mark, put that up there, Mark, I think it's the next scripture, Mark 17:25, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. And I began to quote scripture to God and tell him how he's theologically not correct. I would not recommend telling God, argue with him theologically. I don't know how you're going to do that in Spanish. He doesn't need it. He's self-existent. He's self-sufficient. He's self-sustaining. But I understand that I'm preaching a title saying, God needs you. Here in Marshalltown, he needs you. And let me say it another way. Point number two. There's only 3 points. 20 after 11, okay. We should be out of here by 25 after. Point number three, God decided to need you. Now, point number three is going to be longer, so just hold on to your seatbelt. Let me say it another way. Let me say it another way. God does not need you to exist, but he decided to need you to coexist. And some of you are going to have to work on that a little bit. If you take your Bible, your iPad, however you get your information, Trish and I are getting into technology. I'm preaching from an iPad today. Matter of fact, we have smartphones. Last night, we laid in bed and texted each other good night. Some of you are going, Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, however you get it. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground of the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man, to what he would name them, and whatever the man, Adam, called each living creature, that was his name. Now, when you think about it, God doesn't create dummies, but can you imagine a God who created this whole universe? This whole universe doesn't have the capacity to name an animal? Adam, you name him, whatever you name him. When you see a hippo today, folks, you know why? Because Adam named it, not God. Then Adam got a little sleepy, kind of fell asleep, they say, if you read the scripture in Genesis. And as he woke up, he goes, whoa, man. That was funny. It's in the scripture. That's why we call him, whoa, man. If it gets too deep for you, I'll help you. At the beginning, he was naming animals. He named birds. He was going falcon and eagle and hawk and sparrow. By the end of the day, he's tired and he's, blackbird, bluebird. Then he kind of closes his eyes and he hears a noise. He goes, hummingbird. Here's my point. You're telling me that God couldn't name animals? God could have named the animals himself. He could have said, Adam, get your notepad. Let's write this down. There's a giraffe. There's a hippo. There's a deer. But he actually needed Adam to name the animals. Why? Well, I don't know. I'm just there in church. And somebody promised me lunch. And that's why I came. Okay. He actually needed it because he wanted him to have dominion over the animals. Adam had responsibility for the animals. So God gave him authority over the animals. Now, I don't know if you hear what I'm saying, but what I'm trying to say to you is God has given you here in Marshalltown authority in certain areas as a believer. Thank you for three amens. If you really agree, just shh. Yeah, we agree. Okay, good. I just pray that he doesn't need the rocks to cry out at Marshalltown Nazarene Church. Thank you, Bob. I hired Bob. I just met him in the street, hired him, said, would you come in and amen for me? He said, I'll do it. But in order to walk in authority, God, think about this, needs you to fulfill the responsibility that he gave you. The truth is God, in the body of Christ, that God has decided to partner with us. Think about this. Look at an amazing verse, and Darren's going to put it up. Mark 6:5. This is an amazing verse. Look at this. He could not do any miracle. He didn't say he would not. He said he could not. Because of their unbelief. Is it because God doesn't have power? No. He has the power, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. But it's because of the principle that God has decided to limit his work here and activity on earth to our activity. If it was up to God, there would be 600 people in this sanctuary, not an empty pew. It's God's fault it's empty up here. Not completely. I don't mean you folks are empty up there. I'm just... So God wants it full. He limits himself to our activity. I'm going to give you an answer to all your problems. I know people get mad at God. I've gotten mad at, we've all gotten mad at God, because what happens in life is we know that he has the power. We know that, but he's not doing it. Why? Let me tell you why. Because you're not doing your part. This is not wood. Back in the old days, we had, it gave a little bit. Woo! John must have strong hands, man. I tell you. I want to show you something. A scripture you and I know, it's in 1 Samuel. I want you to read later, 17, the first part. You can tell all the stuff that Goliath wore. But actually, Goliath was being used by Satan. And he began to speak through Goliath, and he began to say, where's your God? Where's your God? He was kind of anti-God. And Satan was challenging God through Goliath. Now, we said that God has limited himself on earth to work through people. Let me ask you a question. Do you think possibly Satan knows that? He's pretty happy with that. Do you think that he has ever taken advantage of that God limited himself to working through us? If you agree, say amen. Amen. I just want to see if you, I knew you could do it. You ever watch Price is Right? I watched the other day, because I'm retired now, I could watch Price is Right without taping it. They just said a name. Sally, come on down. She hadn't won anything yet. We've won. Now, look at 1 Samuel 17:8. An important phrase in there, choose a man. And Darren's going to put it up there. 1 Samuel 17:8, follow along with me. Now, I'm keeping the scripture accurate today. I'm going to tell you that because I'm new today and I'm not trying to play any games on you. But the church I just came from, pastor, I would put up wrong scriptures on purpose to see if they knew. Just see if they read their Bible. Some of us need to dust it off and read it. It's good stuff. Thank you, Bob. Go get them. All right. Sick them, boy. All right. Here it is. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man. And have him come down. You know what he was saying through Goliath? Satan's talking through Goliath. I know how you work, God. You work through people. You limited yourself. I know that. And there's not a person that's going to fight. But if they did and came out and I win, I take them into bondage. You've read the story. Goliath. He thinks that there's no one has the courage to stand up to the giant. And you know what God says? This is awesome. I think the scripture has a lot of humor in here. I read it that way. God says, I can just hear him. I don't need a man. I've got a boy. Hallelujah. I've got a boy that I've trained with a lion and a bear and a slingshot and a harp. I have a boy. I've trained him to come into my very presence. Do we need to do that? Yes, we need to come into his very presence. Did you know that it says where two or three are gathered, he's there? No, that's not what it says. You know what it says? Where two or three are gathered in my name. There's lots of people gathering. But the presence of God is two or three are gathered in my name. Well, there's more than two or three here. We should be having a glory time in here. I'll wait. You won't get to the restaurant, but I started something at our church where I pastored for the last 14 years. I would tell them if they helped me and start amening with me, we'd get out early. Man, they were shouting when I was leaving. I thought they were shouting for God, but I think they were just shouting that I was leaving. Just kidding. Why in the world would you ever move to Conrad, Iowa? Thank you. Yeah, I don't know either. I wish I had an answer for you. Maybe to meet Ryan at Applebee's that he doesn't work at anymore. But God allowed me to meet him for a moment. It was interesting when you think about it, Ryan, but I hate to say this, as much as I love you already, I didn't come for you. But what if I did? Last year, it was crazy. We have phones. You all have phones? We would call back and forth because six of our grandkids still live in Conrad, Iowa. And on the phone, goofing around, old Abraham, he's a little four-year-old. You're not the real grandparents. They live in Conrad, Iowa. We didn't think it was funny. The next Sunday, I got up in our church after 14 years and resigned. Because I realized, what good is it, ladies and gentlemen, to win the world and lose your own kids? Come into his very presence. Satan knows that your marriage is not going to be healed if you don't do your part. Did you know that? Well, we want God to do his part, but we don't want to do our part. It's not because God lacks power. Look at this, Romans 10:13, the next verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We know that verse, verse 13. But what about the next verse, verse 14? How then, listen to this, can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear in Conrad, Iowa, your grandkids, without someone sharing with them? How are they going to be saved unless somebody tells them? Can you imagine what God is thinking about this prayer? I was just thinking about this the other day. Oh God, please send somebody to come into my neighborhood and witness to my neighbor next door to me. And God's thinking, I put you there. I gave you that house. So you could be next to that neighbor. You never go home to feed them. God wants your neighbor saved. That's why he put you there. But he limits himself. You share. So you cooperate with God. Number one, God doesn't need anything. Second, God decided to need you. Third point, hurry up, pray for me. Help me out. Yell amen and we'll get out of here quicker. Beat the Baptist to the restaurant. Third point, have you decided to need God? I'm not just talking about being saved. Probably most of you are here in this room. Maybe you're not. You can get saved today. That'd be terrible if we have church and play. See, the reason people don't go to church is not because they're turned off with God. You know what? I used to tease our church. I'd say, I can bring them, but they meet you folks and don't come back. That's not a good way to keep your job. But you know what? People will come in and check it out. They come into Marshalltown Nazarene Church and they check it out. See, God's not the issue. They were checking it out for a reason. Somebody said to me, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I said, no, I agree with you. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to go home to be married, but it helps. You see, I can go home every night religiously and hate Trish. Just going home religiously to Trish is not helping my marriage. Just going to some building, well, I showed up. Did I sing? Well, of course not. I didn't know that song. Matter of fact, I didn't even like the song. And you're using a tape thing. I hate that. So if I don't have my way, now I'm talking to other churches, not here. Thank God I'm not talking about this church. Pastor has never said a word to me about anything here. On purpose, we talk about coffee and his little kids. But you can get saved today, but I'm going to talk about a more complex issue. And Darren, I want you to put it up there. How can a sinful person have a relationship with a holy God? He made it simple. Believe in Jesus. Ask him to forgive your sins. Put your trust in him. If you're saved today, then I guess the question would be, have you decided to need God? When I was younger, I remember being raised in a church of the Nazarene, and my dad was a preacher. And I remember hearing about saved and sanctified and petrified or something like that. I don't know. See, I thought you got saved and you got part of God. Then you get sanctified, you get more of him and all this kind of stuff. When you get saved, you get all the Godhead, it says bodily. You get all of God there is. There is no more of God. When you get sanctified, though, he gets all of you. Could you imagine when pastor comes home, 10 of you are lined up, can we help in the nursery next Sunday? After you pick him off the floor? See, did you know that you have everything you need to grow this church right here in this room? Because if God be for us, Bob knows it. How did you know that? You're so smart. There is something about sitting on the front row. Mother. You need to understand there are some things, though, that God is not going to do. You have to do your part. I remember an energetic single lady. And talk about the nursery, she volunteered to be in the nursery, and she was in there, and she was helping, and she was changing whatever they change in there, and she said, Lord, when I get married, she was a single lady, and when she said, when I get married, Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, matter of fact, I want you to change diapers for me. And God said, I am the Lord, I change not. If you wanted to get funnier and laugh more, you're going to have to work on it, because you're going to have to do your part, because I told Trisha, she said, you think you're funny, don't you? And I said, no, I don't think it. Let me explain something this morning as we're kind of starting to land this plane. Here it is. Your part is not supernatural. Well, some of us think we're God. It's a great truth. Do you know that David threw the stone, but God hit the giant? Did you know that God parted the Red Sea, but Moses just lifted a stick? Here it is. It's not like Charlton Heston. He just lifted a stick. Somebody's saying, who's Charlton Heston? I don't know how that translates. Can you imagine God raised Lazarus from the dead? And you're telling me that a God that can come in and raise Lazarus from the dead is so weak that he can't take grave clothes off? Don't you think that a God that can raise somebody from the dead has enough power to take grave clothes off? But he's chosen himself to limit himself to the activity. He goes, disciples, take the grave clothes off. See, when I go to the hospital, I don't heal anybody. I just take grave clothes off. He's the healer. Now, I thought you'd get a little bit more amens here than that. God's the healer, folks. Four more. God's the healer. It's going to take a long time to get to the restaurant if you don't help me, okay? But the church at large has not caught it, because guess what? I hear it. We're talking about, boy, I want a move of God to come to Marshalltown Nazarene Church. No, I want to cause a move of God. Amen. Not sure you do yet. I want to do my part so God can do his part. Wow. Here's what I think is happening in the body of Christ today. We just say, God, it's your move. And he says, no, Al. It's your move. I want my grandkids to get saved. In Conrad, Iowa, God, you know where it is? Yeah. Now resign your church and move there. What? We had a great church. God, do you not know what you're talking about? God is saying it's your move. We say, God, heal my marriage. God says, why don't you love her as I love the church? What do you do? That'll heal your marriage. Here's another one I've heard before. Change him, God. I've been praying for 20 years. God says, why don't you honor him like I honor you, like you honor the Lord? Why don't you quit talking to your girlfriends about how bad he is? Start honoring him. Well, God bless my finances. Well, we'll quit stealing from him, and he might. If you agree with me, get real quiet, because when it gets real quiet, then I know I'm on the right direction there. He said, I told you, I'll remove the curse and open the windows of heaven. You see, we have a part. That's not just, okay, we'll have a little offertory, the girls did great, and go through and pass the plates so we have something to do just all the time. No, that's worship. We get mad at God and haven't done our part. I was thinking of something the other... we were talking about animals a moment ago. Remember Adam named animals? Remember that? A guy needed one more class to graduate from college. He was getting ready to graduate, and he needed one more class, and he didn't know what to take. And he went to his dean and says, you know, I have been doing really well in school, and I just really don't know what to do. I need one more class to get out of here so I can get my job. I'm excited about it, and I need your help. Dean, what? He said, well, I'll tell you. He says, you have done well. He said, we have a class, an old professor, and he looks so bad that he looks like he has to get well to die. And it's really a pretty easy class, and why don't you just take that class on birds? And he said, okay. And so he went in to take that class on birds with this old professor. And within the first week, that old professor died. And they sent some young guy just out of graduate school. And he decided that he was going to make his mark, and this was going to be the hardest class in this college. And he got in there, and first day he walks in there, he pulls down this screen, and just has this, it was on birds, and he pulls it down, but just all you can see is the bird legs. And he goes, a third of your grade is going to be on this test. You're going to tell me what bird that is, and what he does, and how he functions, and all this kind of stuff. And if not, you're going to... And the kid pulls his papers together, gets up, and starts to walk out. And the professor says, hey, where are you going? He says, you're an idiot. I'm not staying for this class. I can't handle this class. I'm leaving. He said, well, I want to write your name down. Give me your name so I can write down when you leave. And he says, tell me what my name is. That has nothing to do with the message. I just thought it was funny. In closing, I want to share about from Romans 5. It says that one man sinned and all of mankind was condemned. Now, I don't know about you. You're in church, so you can't say this. But I think when I get outside, I'm going to say, God, that's not very fair. One man sins and we're all cursed. But let me tell you something. Anytime you read the Bible and you don't understand it, do you know why? It's because you don't understand it. The problem is not that there's something wrong with God, it's us. Think about this, it's brilliant. If it took one man to lose it, he said it's only going to take one man to get it back. Whew. That should excite even the Baptist. That's brilliant. Romans 5 says the first Adam lost it, but the second Adam, Jesus, got it back. If Jesus could have redeemed us from heaven, he could have. possibly, I think, why don't you just say, hey, you're forgiven down there? No, no. Jesus came. He became a human. When he was talking to Goliath, he says, send a man. And God says, no, I'm going to send Jesus. When Satan says that Jesus isn't the man, God says, oh, yes, he is. He's 100% man, 100% God. That makes no sense to me. 100% God and 100% man? Well, he's all man, but he's all God. He was tempted at all points. Either he was a fake, and he didn't really have to get baptized, and he really didn't get tempted because he was God. He was just showing us how to get baptized. He was just showing us how to... No. He was 100% man. Listen to me. Sourced by God. Ooh. We are 100% mankind, but we can be sourced by God. Came down and paid the price. And anybody can accept Christ. Anybody can be redeemed. So here's the whole message. I think it's up. I can put it up there. God doesn't need anything. He's self-existent, he's self-sufficient, he's self-sustaining. But thank God he decided to partner with us. Paul said it another way. You know what Paul said? We are co-workers with God. Wow. In the greatest harvest in the whole world. You know why some churches today are full and others aren't? Because God loves other churches more than he likes us. Come on. He wants to use us. You know what's really neat when he finds people that like us? God has the power, but you need to work with him. God needs you so he can accomplish his will. So what am I going to do today? I was going to share with you. Did you know that he did not call this house to be a house of singing? He did not call it to be a house of prayer. You know what he said I want it to be? A house of preaching. He said, I want it to be a house of prayer. What do we do the least amount in church? We say worship is singing. He says praying. Family altar. I asked John, Pastor John, if I could just have it at the end. I want to draw close to him. See, what if this was my last worship time on this earth today? And God says, man, you just sat there, you didn't sing, you didn't worship, you didn't even shake hands with people. You were having a bad day, I guess. I wasn't even sure I was going to come. I told Trish it's raining. What's new in Iowa? But I asked God today what I want to do, and because that's the only place I'm worshiping today is right here, my wife and I, my mom, is with you. I can't go with the past. Past is gone. Tomorrow's not here. I want to draw close to him today. I just want to draw closer to him this morning. And so as we bow our heads for just a moment, I want you to think about this for a minute. And I've asked Trish to just sing a little song. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. Do your part. What's he talking to you about? If I tell you, that's hearsay. But let God talk to you, and he begins to talk to you. Maybe you need to get converted today. I don't know. Maybe he needs to heal your marriage. I don't know. Maybe he needs to help you financially. I don't know. But God is talking to you, and you're saying, I need to bend my knee this morning and draw close to him. Oh, I've been in church for a long time. But maybe this morning, a crazy guy comes in that we don't even know. He begins to talk about, God, you need me. And God, you're speaking to me, saying that you really want to work with me. You want to be a part. I can't do the supernatural, but I can at least lift a stick. I can at least go to a hospital. I can at least do whatever you ask me to do, Lord Jesus. What do you mean? Vacation Bible school. Not for me. I did my time. Really? What if some little kid needs you? Well, I'm old. Who cares? As she sings this little song, maybe you'd like, before I close in prayer, to come and kneel. Maybe your family, maybe just you, whatever God's talking. If he's not talking to you, forget it. But if God's talking to you, listen to him. Don't be ashamed of the gospel.
I know that I failed you, Lord.
That's it.
Time and
it's family altar.
Again, but each time
I want to draw closer to him, Jesus.
You've always stayed true.
Oh, that's my prayer today, Lord.
And that's why I kneel at the cross once
oh, God, that's it.
Again.
Do something new in my life today, Jesus.
To draw closer to you.
Is that your prayer today? Closer to you, Lord.
Closer.
God, do something in Marshalltown, in Iowa.
Closer, I pray.
You love these folks.
Help me draw closer.
That is a pastor and wife, Lord.
To your will.
Help us to do our part
today.
It doesn't matter, Lord.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm looking around. What are others going to do? It doesn't matter.
It's
what God's going to do with
us. May do.
I prayed once. I don't need to pray again.
To draw closer to you.
Can I tell you that the closest you are to God this morning is when you're praying? Did you know that? Wow.
And Lord, I surrender.
That's it, right there. Surrender to your will. What could happen today in this church if it didn't matter about our will? In any church, why did you limit yourself? I don't know, but you love us so much you want to work through us.
In your promise.
That's it.
I know that you'll show a way to draw closer to you.
If you know that little chorus, sing it with her, would you?
Closer.
Make that your prayer.
To you, Lord.
Closer, I pray.
Closer, I pray.
Help me.
Help me draw closer to your will today.
It doesn't matter what others may do.
It doesn't matter.
God, you're doing something this morning.
What others may do.
I want to draw closer.
I want to draw closer to you.
Jesus, thank you. I'm not an evangelist, I'm just a pastor's heart. And I care about these wonderful folks that have been so nice to us today. But Lord, I would love to see this thing just go as a house of fire, and help them as they go into Bible school this week and begin to love these kids who may not have church homes. Thank you for young people that sang earlier today. Thank you for being the Messiah today, Jesus, the rescue for sinners. Thank you for that blessed assurance that this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. And so in these closing moments today, Lord, we say yes in total surrender. You have us, Lord. We promise you today when we leave this place, we're going to be different. We're going to do our part. We're not going to just say, God, why aren't you helping my marriage? Why aren't you helping everything else? We're going to be excited about what God's going to do in the lives. And I put my grandkids there too at the altar. There's probably burdens today that you're carrying, and we just leave it with him. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Would you just pray that out loud with me? Thank you, Jesus, I love you. If you feel that, say it one more time, pray it with me. Thank you, Jesus, I love you.